Anyway, we're in this series called Discovery 101, and what we're doing is we're focusing our attention on this one big question. By the way, you can follow along in your notes, and the one big question is simply this, is that when we're facing a decision, how do I know what God wants me to do? When I'm facing a decision, how do I know what God wants me to do? And I want to let you know this is a very, very important question. It's very important that we're intentional about including God, not only what's going on here Sunday morning in this 1 hour, whatever it would be, but it's important that we're including God in every area of our life, especially our decisions. Amen? And there's two reasons why it's very important that we include God in our decisions. And number one is this, the decisions that we make today determine where we end up tomorrow. The decisions we make today determine where we end up tomorrow. Some wise person once said this. They said, we make decisions, and then in turn, our decisions make who we are. I would even go as far as to say this, that you're where you're at in your life today based upon the decisions that you have made up to this point in your life. Decisions play a big, big part of our lives. So be careful that you're making good decisions today because they're going to impact your tomorrow, okay? So if you're here today, maybe you're a little discouraged because you've made some poor decisions. How many people are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen? Forgiveness, we can forgive and we can move on. God has great things in store. Second reason it's important to make good decisions is because our decisions not only impact our individual lives, but our decisions also impact other people. We got to get that straight. So when I make a decision, I got to realize it's not only going to impact my little world, but it's going to impact the bigger world. It's going to impact my wife. It's going to impact my kids. It's going to impact all those people that God has given me influence over. So it's very important that we make good decisions because not only do they impact us, they impact other people. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a positive impact on other people. How many are with me this morning? Amen? Amen. So I think we would all agree that it's important that we learn to make good decisions. So what we did in the first 2 weeks of this series is we laid the foundation for this series with a key question, and that is when we're making a decision, what does God really care about the most? What does God care about the most? Week one we talked about God cares more about who before do. God's more concerned about who we're becoming than what we're doing. Doing is important, but we need to make sure that who is the most important, okay? Who we are is really important. We need to be becoming more and more like who? Everybody say Jesus, okay? Then last week we talked about the question was why before what? It's a real question of my motives. Why do I want such and such? And by the way, if you missed these sermons, they are online so that you can listen to them and gather some good content and be on your journey, okay? So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to keep it real simple. This is going to be like more of a classroom setting. It's going to be very simple. And what I want to do today as we begin is I want to look at a misconception that a lot of people have when it comes to God's will. This is a misconception that a lot of people have concerning God's will, and it's in your notes. And I didn't know how to start the wording, so you can start it however you want. But for my sake, this is how we're going to do it today. The misconception is, hey, if I'm a super Christian, or if I was just closer to God than I am today, God will show me exactly what he wants me to do, and there will be absolutely no doubt in my mind, okay? There'll be no doubt in my mind. I will be 100% sure, and there will never be any problems. There'll never be any obstacles. It will all be smooth sailing. So the misconception is this. Hey, I'm a Christian, and isn't it just supposed to be that if I'm a Christian that I'll 100% understand the will of God for my life? Isn't it just the case that there'll be no obstacles, everything will be easy, everything will be laid out before me, and there will certainly be no problems, no obstacles, it will be smooth sailing? See, a lot of people think that, but I want to let you know that's not the case. And somebody's like, oh my, not really the case, huh? Well, how many people have ever heard of a guy named the Apostle Paul? Has that name ever come across your plate, the Apostle Paul? Think about his resume. This was a guy that was going after Christians, wanting to kill them. Then one day he's on this road, the road to Damascus. And he's on the road to Damascus. He has an encounter with the living Jesus Christ. And God changes everything about him, even his name. He goes from being who? Saul to Paul. So God uses him to preach to who? The Gentiles. We also know that this guy wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament. I mean, he's used by God in a mighty way. We know that this guy went on three different missionary journeys. God used him to plant churches all over the place. We even hear in Scripture that he had this encounter with God. We're told that he had encounters with God in heavenly places. So if there was one guy in my way of thinking that would know without a doubt what God's will was for his life, I would think, wow, Paul knew the will of God. I mean, wow, he was so close to God. Certainly he knew the will of God for his life. But I want to let you know that's not the case. Look at the scripture with me. It's very important. 1 Corinthians 16, 6 through 9. Paul's writing at the end of this first letter to the church in Corinth. He's kind of saying goodbye to them before he leaves. And I just want you to look at the uncertainty that he had. He begins with this word, perhaps. I'm like, really, Paul, perhaps? You would think that he would know without a doubt. Perhaps I will stay with you a while. And then he says, possibly all winter. And then you can send me on my way to my next destination. This time I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay for a while. And then look at this line, if the Lord will let me. One translation says this, if the Lord permits. So what we see here is Paul's not really certain what's going to happen next. We always think Paul knew exactly where he was going next. He knew the next station in life, where he was going to spend time. But we're seeing in this passage that's not the case. He says, in the meantime, I'm going to be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. He goes, there's a wide open door for a great work here. And then check this out. Although many oppose me. Although many people oppose me. So what we see in Paul is we see this guy that is a superhero in the faith. But at the same time, when it came to a future direction where he would be going, we see him say, perhaps, possibly, if the Lord permits, if the Lord's willing. And when I do get there, even though it's the will of God, there's still going to be many people who oppose me. So what I like about that is I'm kind of a sick individual. I like that misery likes company, because there's times when I'm praying, God, what's your will? What do you want me to do in this situation? I don't always get the exact answer what God wants me to do. He doesn't give me a 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, this is what it's going to look like. All the steps aren't marked out. I don't have a perfect map where God wants me to go. And I'm in good company because Paul didn't know all the details either. Are you hearing me this morning? But here's the cool thing about Paul. He was still able to serve God in a very effective manner. I think we would all agree, Paul was a hero. He was a monster for the faith. Amen? And the fact of the matter is, God doesn't always show us the future. And I think some people want God to show them the future every step of the way. And as a result, when they don't get all the steps, what happens? They end up doing nothing. They end up doing nothing. Well, if it was God's will, he would have told me this. He would have showed me this. Well, that's certainly not what we see in Paul. There's times you got to step out, okay? So it doesn't always work out that he doesn't always show us the details. But here's the good news, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Here's the good news. Is everybody ready for the good news? Say, give it to me. Come on, everybody, give it to me. Here we go. God's not always going to show you exactly what to do. And somebody just got a text. Maybe God's showing them exactly what to do. Get up and leave church. No. But here's the deal. God will always give you wisdom. Write that down. God will always give you wisdom to guide your steps. What I want you to see this morning is while you're making these decisions in your life, it's very important that you make decisions with the wisdom that God provides. He's not always going to show you exactly why you need to go there, be there by this date, do this. But there will be times, all the time actually, that God will give you wisdom to decide. So this is what I want to speak into your life this morning, and that is this. Wisdom is priceless. Wisdom is priceless, okay? Solomon, we're told, was the wisest man to ever live. Do you know how that all happened, by the way? One day, Solomon was given the task of being the next king of Israel, following David. And one night, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "Hey, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want." This is the paraphrase, by the way. "I'll give you whatever you want." You know what Solomon asked for? Does anybody know? He asked for wisdom to lead the people. He asked for discernment. God was very pleased with that answer and gave Solomon wisdom. We're told that Solomon was, other than Jesus Christ, was the wisest man to ever live. Okay? So what I want you to see here is wisdom is priceless. Look at this verse. It's in your notes, Proverbs 4:7. Solomon says this, "Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do." Can we all read that together out loud? Because I want to make sure you're hearing this. Everybody together. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. You say, "Well, I thought getting the best job possible was the best thing or the wisest thing to do. Or I thought planning for retirement was the best and wise." Well, those are all important. And here's what I want you to hear. Those things come out of wisdom. So getting wisdom is the wisest thing that we can do. And by the way, whatever else you do, he says, develop good judgment. So my goal here this morning is that we would be people, because I know we're all facing decisions. That's just life. Life is made up of decisions. Everybody, we make decisions probably about every day of our lives. And the best way to make those decisions is based upon, do we have wisdom in making the decision that is before us, okay? So wisdom is the wisest thing we can do. So what I want to do this morning is I want to share three ways with you how we can increase our wisdom, our level of wisdom, okay? And I want to let you know there's a lot of people in this room that could stand up and preach this message this morning because you know what I'm going to say. But like I said in my prayer, for a lot of people, there's a big gap. There's a big gap between knowing and doing. Does everybody agree with that? There's a big gap between what we know and what we do. And my encouragement here this morning is that we will go beyond people who know what to do, that we'll be people that will begin to put it into action so that we'll have wisdom. We'll have wisdom when we have those big decisions, those small decisions. We'll be doing making those decisions based upon wisdom. So let's look at three ways that we can increase our wisdom. And today, more than anything, is I want us to be real with one another. And I want us to ask questions in ourselves this morning. Am I really living this way? I know I should, but am I really doing it? So let's take this journey together. How can we get more wisdom? Does anybody want to fill in the blanks on the first one? Anybody want to take a guess? By reading the Bible. Is it up? No, good. By reading. Who said that? By reading the Bible. You get wisdom by reading the Bible. You get wisdom to make decisions based upon what you find in God's Word. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16 should be a verse that you try to memorize. It says this, all Scripture is what? Everybody say it. Inspired by God. Can we say that again? All Scripture is what? Inspired by God. It means it's God breathed. These guys didn't write the Bible on their own, thinking this might be a good thing to write down. No, God led them and guided them in what to write. It's inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true. I know when I'm making a decision, I want to know what's true. Make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. And check this out. It teaches us to do what's right. See, a lot of wisdom that we need in making decisions concerning what's right and wrong can be found and discovered as we read the Bible. Folks, we need to be Bible-believing, Bible-reading believers. We need to make sure we're saturating ourselves in the Word of God because a lot of what we need is right in the Word. A lot of the problems you can divert could be because you read the Word and you say, hey, danger. And we need to understand God doesn't give us His commandments to hurt us, but God is a good Father and He gives us His commandments to help us, to instruct us, to lead us in a way that will be pleasing. And we got to get that in our hearts. Is everybody with me this morning? We need to get that in our hearts. Check out this verse, David speaking in Psalms 119, 105. He says, Lord, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. It's a light for my path. So here's the deal. You're in the dark when you're making a decision. Where are you going to find light? Where are you going to find guidance? You find it in the word of God. So I know that I've said that 1,328 times since I've been the pastor of this church, but I can never stop saying it's very important that we become people who pick up their Bibles, not only on Sunday morning, but we're people who pick up the Word of God throughout the week, And if you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, you can take the Bible that's in the pew rack in front of you and consider it to be a gift. But folks, we need to be serious about getting in the Word. So my challenge to you in this part of the message is simply, would you make a part of your day, maybe just 5 to 10 minutes, would you take 5 to 10 minutes of your day to pick up the Bible and read it? Turn off your cell phone. Turn off all the social media. Will you find a quiet place where you just open up your Bible and say, Lord, for the next 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to allow you to speak to me through the Word. See, there's a lot of people that want to hear a word from God. But I want to let you know the place where God often starts, I always start, I think, is He speaks to us how? Through His Word. See, a lot of people want a new word when we haven't responded to the word that God has given us already. We need to be in the Word. Are you here with me this morning? And if you're here and you're looking for wisdom, and that's our goal today, we're on this wisdom hunt so we can make good decisions. A great place to start, and write this down in your notes, is the book of Proverbs. Everybody write down Proverbs. Proverbs. The cool thing about Proverbs, and I think God planned it out this way, how many people know how many chapters there are in the book of Proverbs? 31. The longest month has how many days? 31. What would it look like if you just started right there in your hunt for wisdom by opening the book of Proverbs and you read a proverb a day? You read a proverb a day. Right now, you can start today. Go to Proverbs chapter. What's today's date? The 7th. Read Proverbs chapter 7, which, by the way, is a warning to men about staying away from inappropriate women. So that's interesting that that worked out. Because there's danger, Will Smith. Okay? By the way, do you know what the purpose of the Proverbs is? It's wisdom. I want to read it to you. It's on the screen. Let's read it. Okay, let's go on this journey. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. This is the opening verses of the book, just to explain what it's all about. Their purpose is to teach people what? Everybody say it. Wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. That's why we have the book of Proverbs. Their purpose is to teach people to live discipline and successful lives. By the way, let's stop right there. How many people want to live a successful life? About half of you. Wow. Impressive, okay? Where do we find how to live a successful life? In the Word of God. Hands down, every time, batting 1,000 in the Word of God. To help them to do what is right, just, and fair, these Proverbs will give insight to people like me, the simple, knowledge and discernment to who? Everybody say, the young. Let's just stop right now and talk to the young. Where are the young people at? Everybody under 20, raise your hand. Come on, don't be ashamed to be under 20. You should be going, yeah, yeah, all right. This is what I want to tell the young people. You can be wiser than a lot of people older than you. Wisdom just doesn't come because you're getting older. I used to think that as I got older, I would be wiser. But just because you're getting older doesn't mean you're getting wiser. There should be life experiences, absolutely, that teach you lessons of wisdom. But I want to let you young people know you can be very wise at your young age because you're in the Word of God. And you're not only in the Word of God, but you're applying the Word of God. I know of some young people that are wise way beyond their years. And where did it start? It started by getting into the Word and allowing the Word to get inside of them. Young people, be wise. Get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. It will save you a lot of pain that some of us had to go through because we did life on our own. Amen? Where are we at on this journey, by the way? Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Is there more? Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools, everybody say fools.
Fools.
What do fools do? They despise wisdom. Fools, I'm not saying that. I would never say that to you. I'm too nice. But it says here, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. We need to be in the Word. So my challenge to you guys is, how many people would take this challenge? Don't raise your hand. But how many people would say, you know what? Starting today, I'm going to read a proverb a day. Could you imagine if you did that for the remaining months of the year? I read some of these proverbs and I'm thinking, wow, what wisdom. God wants you to walk in wisdom. It's going to help you form these decisions that will make you in the future. The place you get wisdom, hands down, is in the Word. And we say it all the time, and you think that's just because that's what pastors are supposed to say. Read your Bible, good little people. I want to say read your Bible because it can change your life. It can give you wisdom. It can give you understanding that will save so much heartache and pain. Does that mean you'll never go through that? No, but I think we can minimize it greatly. Are you hearing me this morning? Am I becoming redundant yet? Folks, get a Bible. And by the way, I'm into devotionals. I have devotionals. But you can't replace the Bible with a devotional. There comes a time where you just got to open up the Word of God. Because devotionals aren't inspired by God, but the Word of God is. Amen? Amen. Well, that's better preaching than you guys are giving me a response for this morning. Come on, is everybody happy to be here this morning?
Right, yes.
See, my goal is to help you. My goal is to help my family, myself, help us so we don't have to go through these bad decisions because we don't have wisdom. Well, God's saying, I want to give you wisdom. I've given you wisdom. It's in my Word. The second place where you get wisdom is you get wisdom by asking God for it. You got to ask. You got to ask. James chapter 1, verse 5 is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. It's an amazing promise where it says this. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What I want to do is I want to read that verse out loud, everyone together, speaking the Word of God. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. I mean, that's an amazing promise. God knows that we go through a lot of issues in life, a lot of decisions that we have to make. And He's saying, hey, get into my Word, number one. But if there's something you need, there's times where we just need to go to God and we need to ask. If we want wisdom, godly wisdom, which trumps worldly wisdom, we need to ask for it. Just go to God, speak to Him, talk with Him. Say, God, this is the decision I'm facing. I'm not sure what you want me to do. God, will you give me the wisdom? We can go to God and we can ask, okay? By the way, does anybody like me here this morning, you have a hard time asking for anything? There's any people who have a hard time asking? I'm amazed. Some people have no hard time. They will ask about anything. Then there's other people that they have a hard time asking for anything. And I know I have a very difficult time asking. And there's two reasons. Number one, there's this time I just don't want to bother other people. I don't want to bother people. I realize people are busy. People have their lives. They have things that they have to do. So for me, it's hard to ask because we feel like it's an inconvenience. Can I say something to you today with the Father's heart? And that is that if you ask God, it won't be an inconvenience. God is just delighted. He's overjoyed when we humble ourselves and we come and we say, hey, Dad, Abba, Father, can you give me wisdom? I want to know what you want me to do. I think that delights the heart of the Father. How many of you are fathers, by the way, or a parent, and your kids come and they ask for help? Isn't that an awesome thing when they finally ask for help? What a delight that brings to you. You're like, wow, who's this kid? And I think it delights God. You're not putting Him out. He wants you to ask. Okay, then there's a second reason I don't ask a lot of times is because, to be honest with you, I deal with arrogance. I say to myself, I can do it myself. I'm a do-it-myself guy. I don't need your help. I don't need anyone's help. And a lot of times what that does is it just really, it's to my detriment. And what we need to do is we need to be people who say, God, yes, you do know more than me. You made me. You created the world. You have all wisdom. You know all things. God, I need your help. I ask you, okay? But when we ask, there's a condition. Let's read it. It's on the screen. Let's read this together. Next verse. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in who? God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Okay? Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So my interpretation, there's three guidelines that were given. And that is, the first guideline is, when you ask God, you need to be all in. You need to be all in. You need to say, God, I'm all in. Whatever you have to say, I'm all ears. I don't have a second hidden agenda. God, I'm all in. Number two, how many people know this? The big key to asking is you need to what? Everybody say it. Listen. By the way, has anybody ever asked you a question and then before you even got to respond, they just kept talking? Does anybody have any friends like that or family members? They ask you a question, but they never give you a chance to respond. I want to let you know, to my, I say this with almost shame, that's the way I am when it comes to asking God for help. I ask for help, wisdom, and then I continue to talk. How many people know we need to stop and do what? Listen. We don't like to listen because there's silence. But we got to listen. We got to listen. We got to listen to that still small voice. We got to listen to how I believe that God often speaks to us. Is there's what we call the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He prompts our heart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's that prompting. You just feel it. And you know it's not you. You know it's the Holy Spirit that's listening. And then number three of our guidelines is we need the courage to respond. See, a lot of times, God, I'm going to ask you for help. I'm going to hear what you're telling me, but I don't know if I can do that. Not sure if I can do that. That's kind of risky. That's going to take me out of my comfort zone. But what we need to do is we need to listen. And then when God speaks to us, we need to respond in courage. Yes, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, God, help me to do it because I can't do it alone. Give me the courage. Give me the courage. And here's the result, by the way, of asking. Psalms 32:8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the what? Best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I want to read that verse, everybody together. I know we're doing this a lot today, but I want the word of God to get into you. The Lord says, I will guide you along the what? Best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Isn't that a great assurance? We're not in this alone. God, our Creator, is with us. God, our Creator, will lead us to the best pathway if we'll listen, if we'll read the Word, if we'll listen, okay? Number three, and this is the point I've been waiting for all week. So put on your big boy shoes now. We're going to get after it. The best way that you can gain wisdom, or not the best way, another way, because I think the Word, huge, is by spending time with wise people. By spending time with wise people. If you're going to get wise, guys, if you're going to be a wise guy, one of the ways that you're going to get wisdom is by walking with wise people. Last time we're going to do it today, we're going to read this next verse together. Everybody together. Walk with the wise and you become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. That should be on the mirror of everybody's, that should be on everyone's mirror in the bed, or in the, where do you have a mirror? In the bathroom, there you go. Or in your car. Hey, walk with the wise. The result will be you will become wise. If you associate with fools, the Word of God says you're going to end up getting in trouble. Walk with the wise. Are your friends wise? Well, you're saying, well, who are wise? Who are the wise? Well, I have three criteria of wise people. Number one, wise people are right on the journey where we're at this morning, wise people who spend time in the Word. Do you have friends that are spending time in the Word? Number two, those who spend time with God in prayer. Those are wise people. They're in their Bible, they're in their Word, they're getting fed spiritually, they're spending time in God in prayer, they're having conversations, they're connecting with God. Wise people, those are great people to hang out with. Am I saying that we don't hang out with other people? Certainly not. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we better have some wise people in our life, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. Number three, wise people are those who have been where you are. They've been where you are, and they have experienced success. Let me talk about that for a few minutes. A wise person to me would be somebody that's been married for 40 years, and they've had a very successful 40 years of marriage. I can see it in the way they look at each other. I can see it in their kids. Okay? You know, those are the people I want to come and ask marital questions to. How did you do that? How did you pull that off? Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. How did you actually make this work? Hang out with wise people. Hang out with some people and ask questions of an older married couple. How did you do it? What's the keys? You know, I think I look over here and I see Kim, and I think of her parents. Married for how long? 60 years. Just hearing them talk and looking at each other, I'm like, wow, they still love each other after 60 years. It's amazing. Don't look into it. I'm there after 20, what? 21. I tell you what, I'm serious. Some of us, it would be wise for us to go talk to some people who have been married longer, who have had successful marriages, and ask some questions. Can we just spend some time together? How did you make it work? Some of you are like, I would never do that. Well, why wouldn't you do that? Some of you couples that are engaged right now, why don't you hook up with a married couple that right now it looks like, well, their marriage, they got a solid marriage. Why wouldn't you want to go and ask questions in a world where 50% of marriages are ending in divorce? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't we want to ask questions? If you hang out with the wise, you become wise. Or raising kids. How many people know that's a journey in itself? Raising kids. And why wouldn't we go to another couple that has raised some kids that are serving the Lord and after God's heart and doing a lot of good things? They're being responsible and they're just responsible. Why wouldn't we go and talk to their parents? Why wouldn't we? Chad, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we go and say, what were some of the big rocks in raising your kids? What were some of the big decisions you had to make when you were raised? Hang out with wise people. Talk to wise people. Be intentional. How about people who have been financially successful? I'm not going to talk about somebody who's in a financial wreck about how you have financial success if they've never been there. Are you hearing me this morning? We're just being practical. You hang out with the wise, you become what? Wise. Why don't you connect with somebody who knows how to handle their money? I heard an alarming statistic this week that Americans are living on $1.25 of every dollar they make. I want to let you know right now that doesn't work. You can't live on $1.25 of every dollar you make. That's just bad math. So when you see somebody who's been wise with their money, when you see someone that knows how to make some wise investments, when you see people who have been prepared adequate for retirement, why wouldn't you go to Financial Peace University? Come on. I didn't mean to make a plug for Financial Peace University, but guys, we live in a world that's in a financial mess. Why don't we walk with the wise? Why don't we invite Dave Ramsey into our homes and say, hey, teach me your ways? Because he gets it according to God's word. Is everybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? People who had success in relationships. People who have been successful in their occupation. You're in the same occupation. What's wrong with asking people, how did you do it? Wise people. And sometimes you got to go looking for these people because they're not a dime a dozen. They may be one a dozen. And you got to go after and you got to hunt these people down. You have to be intentional about building relationships with people who have been where you're at right now. They've been there already. Why don't you go and they've been successful. Why don't you connect yourself with them? Because God can often use other people to teach us. And we need to get off our high horses thinking, I know everything there is to know. That's arrogance. That's not gonna do well for you. You know what does well for people? It's called humility. Humility. And when we ask and invite other people, and sometimes those people may not be available. So sometimes, I just want to go one step further, and we'll be done on time, so don't worry. Sometimes what you need to do is pick up something they call a book. And you got to read. You got to read. Or a new fad in our country now is you can listen to a podcast. There's all kind of podcasts that cover a lot of different areas, how you can be successful in things according to God's word, how you can make it happen. And some of us, if you want to become wise, you got to connect with wise people. And connect with them on a venue of different ways. It may be face-to-face. It may be through a book that they have written. You got to connect with wise people. Amen? Is everybody with me this morning? How many people want to make good decisions? How many people want to make good decisions? Number one, what do you need to do? Read the Bible. God has given us everything we need. I mean, it's just amazing how good God has been to us through his word. Number two, we can do what? Ask God for help. And number three, you need to hook up with some wise people. You need to hook up with some wise people. Hook up with them. Get in their skin. Get in their game. Get into it together. Okay? And here's what we need to do in closing this morning, because I'm really convinced that getting wisdom is the wisest thing we can do. Getting wisdom is more important than anything else. The wisest thing you can do is to get wisdom. So let me ask you this question, these three questions, and please don't answer out loud. This is a very private matter. And by the way, I'm not asking, do you know about these things? I'm asking, do you do these things? Number one, are you reading the Bible? I want to let you know I have struggles with that myself. I can get caught up into using the Bible to be a tool to prepare for another sermon. But I need to have time outside of that where it's just God speaking to me through his word. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you reading your Bible? Some of us, 5 minutes a day, isn't that would be a great starting place. Read a proverb a day. Are you asking God for help? Number three, are you walking with wise people? Look out your own life. Look at your circle of friends. Are there wise people in that circle of friend of yours? Or maybe your circle of friends, is it just made up of fools? And if you follow them and you associate with fools, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So ask yourself those questions because, folks, if we're going to make good decisions that impact tomorrow, we better be gaining wisdom as we go on this journey. Getting more wisdom, more wisdom, more wisdom, more wisdom to make good decisions that not only impact me, but will impact other people in my life. Are you hearing me? And by the way, this is totally off the cuff here this morning. I just want to say this. Parents, we really need to help our kids out by number one, being wise. We need to be the examples of wisdom. And number two, we need to be careful who we're allowing our kids to hang out with. I have missed it in that area before with in areas of my life. And I just want to encourage parents, you're the leader. We're the leaders. Be very careful who you allow your kids to be influenced by. Be very careful who you allow your kids to be influenced by. Yes, I know that primarily where to be the influential ones in our kids' life. And you young parents with young kids that are still like elementary or even younger, please listen to these words of wisdom. Be very careful who you allow to be your kids' biggest influences in their lives. We only get to raise these kids once. Let's use wisdom. Amen? Can we pray this morning? By the way, the wisest thing we can do in our life is, step one, is ask Jesus Christ into our lives. That is hands down the wisest thing you can do. Say, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sin and I turn to you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior, the Lord of my life. That, hands down, is the wisest thing you can do. Have you taken that great step of wisdom by asking Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Have you asked Jesus, say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I turn to you, for only you can forgive sins. And now I live my life for you. Wisest thing you can do. And that decision to follow Jesus will impact every other decision that we make. Because it's no longer us on the throne of our lives, it's Jesus Christ on the throne of our lives. I just want to encourage you today, God wants you to be a good decision maker. God wants you to be a good decision maker. Because He loves you. He loves you. And He just wants you to choose wisely. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate, I know it seemed like it came across heavy today. I hope it didn't come across heavy. I just want to help you out. And I just want to thank you for being here. By the way, if you're in between 16 and 26 years old, they said that's the most important decade of decision making in your life, between 16 and 26. So I'm not talking to anyone over here. All of you who are 16 to 26, the biggest decade of decision making in your life will be those 10 years. You'll decide where you're going to go to school. You'll decide who you're going to date. You're going to decide who you're going to marry. You're going to decide where you're going to live. What size of house you're going to live in. So I want to encourage you all who are 16 to 26, make wise decisions. And all the older people over here said, yes. Amen. How many over here say, I wish I had that decade over again? It's so important, guys. You college students, high school students, I just want to shake you and fill you up with good decisions. Amen.